Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So today we're going to talk about Daniel. Daniel in holy communication with God. Daniel praying. And when it comes to prayer, Daniel is someone we can learn a thing or two from. And the reason is this. Daniel was a prayer warrior. He saw such great value in prayer, especially praying in circumstances that were not ideal, because Daniel's life was lived in non-ideal circumstances. 70 years of his life were lived basically as a prisoner, in captivity, in a foreign land under foreign kings, and at times being persecuted for his faith. But all the while, Daniel found sustenance and support in prayer. He valued prayer so much that even at threat of death, he would not give it up. And I mean that literally. If you remember from Sunday school, Daniel and the lion's den, where Daniel was cast into the lion's den to be executed, but was saved by God's hand. If you remember why he was cast into that lion's den, it was because he prayed even when it was illegal. Daniel valued prayer. And so in his prayer recorded in Daniel chapter 9, there is much for us to learn. And as we go through this prayer, we're going to look at answering three questions. And these three questions are this: why, who, and what? Why was Daniel praying? Who was he praying for? And what was he praying for? And in each of these three questions are simple truths, not only about our prayer life, but about our relationship with God. So let's begin with the why. And not so much why is Daniel praying in the sense of what he's praying for to be delivered from this captivity, because surely he was praying for that all along. But why did he choose this time to send up this specific prayer? And if we really want to see that, we need to look at Daniel's own words. And he says it. He tells us why he was praying. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Daniel's prayer is prompted by reading scripture. He is reading God's word. And no, Daniel did not have God's word as we have it today. He didn't have the 66 books of the Bible we have, but he had some of it. He had the parts that had come before him, and he definitely had the book of Jeremiah. And he was reading it. He was studying it. He was allowing his life to be involved in this scripture. And it was this scripture that prompted him to pray. And if you look through Jeremiah, it's not that hard to find what Daniel might have been reading. Because in Jeremiah chapter 29, we see these verses. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from the place which I sent you into exile. Now these words in Jeremiah, they're pretty clear. They were given to the people of Israel before they went into exile, but God made a promise. He wasn't done with them. After 70 years, he had plans for them, plans of hope, plans of a future, plans that would eventually result in Jesus Christ. But he also told Daniel something else. You will come and pray to me, and I will hear you, and I will bring my people back from the place which I sent them. You see, there's one important truth in Daniel's prayer, one that matters so much to our lives, it matters so much to our prayer lives, and it has everything to do with the fact that Daniel's prayer was based and rooted in Scripture. Daniel His prayer life was rooted in Scripture. That is the why. That is why he was praying. He was praying because of his involvement in Scripture. Scripture was the basis for his prayer. He appealed to God's promises as found in Scripture. He appealed to God's plan as found in Scripture. He appealed to God's love and mercy as found in Scripture. And he knew that God would hear him because Scripture told him so. Daniel rooted his prayer life in God's word. So let's apply this to our lives. Is your prayer life rooted in Scripture? Is it rooted in God's promises as found in his word? And I think to some extent it is, yes. But I think a lot of times we tend to separate the two. We tend to have our devotional life and then we have our prayer life. Sometimes the devotional reading life, that's a mental exercise. But our prayer life, that's an emotional thing. We separate them and we make the study of God's word something that's academic and prayer life just something different. And when we separate them, we're missing something. We can make reading God's word, studying his scripture, we can make it simply an academic pursuit, and we're missing something then. Our prayer life, our communication with God is missing something. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, we can not value reading scripture enough. Some people have a vivid prayer life, but they don't let scripture be involved in it. And that's not where God wants us to be. And I'm not saying this. I'm not saying you can't pray without knowing God's word. God wants people to pray even if they've never picked up a Bible or read a piece of his word. But he doesn't want us to stay that way. When we talk about holy communication, God's given us several gifts. Gifts to speak to us, to support us, to encourage us, and to help us know his will. One of them's prayer. Another one is God's word. And we're supposed to use all of them. We can't restrict ourselves. It can't just be studying God's word. It can't just be prayer. It can't just be listening to the sermon on Sunday. A prayer life that is rooted and enhanced and involved in Scripture is the way God wants us to be living, to be speaking to him, to be hearing him. And that is why he gives us this example in Daniel, to allow our prayers to be guided and built up by God's word, rooted in Scripture. Now this takes us to our second question. Who was Daniel praying for? And this question can only be answered if you keep it rooted in Scripture. Now, the first thing I want to look at is Daniel's prayer itself. Now, in this prayer, Daniel uses specific pronouns to represent those people whom he is praying for. And here's just a few of them. We, are, and us. These are just a few of the verses in this prayer. It's a long prayer, but it's consistent. It's all we, are, and us's. And what I need you to notice here is Daniel included himself in these confessions, in these prayers for mercy. What Daniel is praying for is not someone else, but for himself and his people. He is praying for his people. He is included in these requests. So that's the question. Who are Daniel's people? Now, the easy answer is the nation of Israel. Those people who were put into exile, the Jewish people, the people of God's covenant, the people of that heritage, and that is who Daniel was praying for. But it's not all who Daniel was praying for. It's not everyone he was praying for. Because at the end of these passages, in verse 19, Daniel kind of defines who he really is praying for, who it all extends to. And in 9, verse 19, he says this, "Because your city and your people are called by your name." When he adds that "your," he makes it clear that Daniel's people are also God's people. He's praying for God's people as his people. And this verse, it also gives us a definition of who God's people are. And they are those called by his name. So again, let's take this to our lives for a second. Who are the people who are called by God's name? Called by his name. And it is the church. The church is part of the people called by God's name, and we should be praying for the church, and we do every Sunday. We pray for persecuted Christians around the world. We pray for pastors and missionaries. We pray for churches in our own nation, and that God's word and church be supported here. We do that. We could be doing it more, but that is part of our prayer life. But I got a question for you. Is this the extent of who God's people are? Is the church the people who are called by God's name? Or is there more? And again, we got to look back to Scripture. Because when we look at Scripture, we see who really are those who are called by God's name. You look at Genesis, and God says, "Let us make man in our own image." And he made man and woman in his image. You go to Psalms and you see David say, "God knew me and stitched me together in my mother's womb." You go to Jeremiah and it says, "I knew you and called you even before you were born." And you go to Matthew and Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." It's not limited just to those who know Jesus as their Savior. It's not limited just to the people who are trusting in God. It's not limited just to the people like us who call ourselves by his name, Christians. God's people is everyone he stitched together, everyone he created, everyone who bears his image. That goes for believers and unbelievers alike. Because here's the thing. An unbeliever, in a lot of ways, is no different than us. We all need God's intervention in our lives. We are all just like these people in Daniel's prayer who had fallen away from God, who had sinned, and who simply needed mercy. And this takes us to that third point. What was Daniel praying for? Because this is what he was praying for. He was praying for God's intervention in his life and in the life of his people. Daniel was praying for God's mercy. If you notice in that prayer, it was a long prayer, and 75% of those verses are just confessions. Just saying, "God, we have sinned. God, we have fallen from you. God, we have been unfaithful. Have mercy on us." And again, if we stay rooted in Scripture, the rest of Scripture supports this. Romans 3 says it pretty plainly. "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." We all need his intervention. We all need his mercy. Believers and unbelievers alike, all of God's people need that mercy. But here's the great thing about God's mercy. All we have to do is ask. All we have to do is trust. All we have to do is not say no to that gift he is freely giving us. In Daniel's prayer, it makes this pretty clear. Because when Daniel finally gets his answer, when he asks for mercy for him and his people, and Gabriel comes and gives God's answer, he says this, and I want us to focus on the first phrase. "At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out." Now, that was a long 23-verse prayer, but God didn't wait till the end. At the beginning of the pleas, the word went out saying, "You are loved and you are forgiven." God doesn't wait. It doesn't have anything to do with the length of your prayer. It doesn't have to do with the eloquence of your words. It doesn't have to do with God seeing a different person afterwards. All we need to do is turn towards him and ask for his mercy. And his mercy is immediate. It has nothing to do with what we're doing. It has nothing to do with what Daniel did in his prayer. At the beginning of his pleas for mercy, that word went out. And on your sermon note sheet page, there's a second question under the what. And it's, what is the basis for Daniel's prayer? Because the basis for Daniel's prayer and his plea for mercy, the basis is not what Daniel does. It is not what Daniel's people have done, because they're all sinners. In those pronouns, we see Daniel including himself in there. It is not based on Daniel's action. But if we look back at the prayer, we see whose action these pleas are based on. In verse 16, "O Lord, according to all your righteous acts, let your anger and wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem." And then verse 18, "For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. It's not because of our righteousness. It is because of his righteous acts and his great mercy. Our requests for mercy, they're not about us. They're not about what we can do. They are only about God and his action for us. That was the basis of Daniel's prayer, God's action. And God's action for us, it came down to one event, an event we're going to celebrate in a few weeks here, when Jesus Christ went to that cross, bearing our sins and our burdens and all of our unfaithfulness, and he paid that price for us. And 3 days later, he rose again victoriously, destroying death and the devil once and for all, in order that we may be given life, that we, like Daniel, may be returned to the promised land, to a place where there is no sin breaking our connection with God, a place God is already preparing for us, a place that he has plans for us. All we must do is trust in him, to trust in his mercy. Daniel's prayer, it's not only an outline for how we should pray, but it's an outline for how we should live. Live in his mercy. Live with yourself rooted in Scripture. Live with the knowledge that, yes, we're sinners like every other person made in his image, but we are also his children, and he loves us, and he desperately wants to act on our behalf and on the behalf of every other person in this world. And that is what Daniel was asking for. If you could take that 23-verse-long prayer and distill it down to one sentence, it would be this: God, act on our behalf. And that's what he did when he sent his message through the angel Gabriel, and he said, at the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out. He simply said the message for Daniel and his people. And it is a simple message, but it is a powerful message. You are greatly loved. That was God's message for Daniel and for all his people willing to trust in him. You are loved, and I have taken care of everything. That is God's message for you today. You are loved. So no matter what's going on in your life, no matter where you are being held captive right now, no matter what kind of persecution or suffering is happening in your life, no matter what sin has a grip on your life at this time, remember those words. You are loved, and because of that love, you are forgiven by the action of Jesus Christ, by his love for you. And he has plans for you, plans of hope and a future, plans to prosper you, plans all centered around Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. That is what Daniel was basing his prayer on. He was basing his prayer on God's love, on God's action for his people. And that is what we base our prayer on today. That is what we base our lives upon God's love for his children, upon his action for us, a love that was epitomized and summed up in his action for us on that cross, where on that cross he simply said to each and every one of us, you are loved. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses